Countries across the world mark the end of the fasting month of Ramadan with Eid al-Fitr prayers. And Israeli forces killed over 150 Palestinians and injured 60 others in the past day as the death toll from the regime's genocide in Gaza nears 33,500. Well, welcome to the studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is Mias. Thanks for joining us.
The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says that Israel made a mistake by attacking Iran's embassy in Damascus, adding that the regime must be and will be punished for its acts of aggression. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei made the remarks in an address after leading the congressional Eid al-Fitr prayers in Tehran. Ayatollah Khamenei also condemned Western countries for supporting Israel, saying they not only failed to prevent the regime from committing the crimes, they also even emboldened it commit more crimes. Iran's leader also congratulated Iranians and Muslims across the world on Eid al-Fitr. Earlier, Ali Salam, editor-in-chief for Basira Press, joined us from Tehran with his take on the Iran's leader's remarks about the recent Israeli attack on the country's diplomatic mission in Syria.
Obviously, this is a declaration in line with international norms that an embassy is property and considered the sovereign soil of whichever country, of any country. This is a standard across the world. So this is essentially an Israeli attack on Iranian soil. And so it is absolutely necessary that this aggressive regime be punished for it. And this is a bloodthirsty regime. And the media in the West may have the script flipped and they try to convince people that the Islamic Republic of Iran is the one that's crazy, irrational, and bloodthirsty. But actually, Iran is very restrained, moral, and is not out to seek bloodshed. It just knows that to stop the bloodshedders, the ones who are covering the world with blood, that force needs to be met with force. There's no way to go about this in a Gandhi way. Even he himself was not instrumental to the end of British colonialism in India. So the sensible thing to do is to have a military parity with the aggressor to be able to basically put an end to their aggression, not out of their humanity, but out of their fear, because the only language they understand is force. And this goes to show that this is the only world leader in the world that bows to no one but God and fears no one but God. And that is a very, very amicable trait to have in a world filled with rulers who are really devil worshippers and servants of the devil himself.
Muslims in many countries around the world, including in West Asia, are celebrating Eid al-Fitr, which marks the end of the holy month of Ramadan.
Millions of people attended congressional Eid prayers in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, Bahrain, Iraq, Syria, Egypt, Lebanon, the United Arab Emirates, and Yemen in the morning of the festive occasion. Prayers and sermons also held in cities, towns, and villages across Iran. In occupied Palestine, nearly 100,000 worshippers performed the prayers at Al-Aqsa Mosque and occupied Al-Quds, despite restrictive measures by the Israeli regime. This year's Eid is being celebrated under the shadow of Israel's genocidal war on the Gaza Strip. Muslims in some other countries will mark the Eid with mass prayers on Thursday. People in Afghanistan, like the rest of Muslims around the globe, mark Eid al-Fitr at the end of the holy month of Ramadan. Afghans enjoy this festive occasion by holding different rituals. Abdullah Amirzada brings us more in this report.
People are heading to mosques and other religious places to attend the congregational Eid al-Fitr prayer that marks the end of the holy month of Ramadan. This is a significant religious celebration that is also observed by Muslims worldwide. On this auspicious day, Afghans, like fellow Muslims in other countries, begin with a collective prayer that resembles unity.
The tradition our Prophet announced for Eid is doing ablution, wearing neat clothes and perfume, and then going to the closest mosque to attend the congregational prayers and ask for God's blessings.
This is the day God pays us the reward of fasting in Ramadan, also a day for unity and brotherhood for us. That's why on this day all Muslims are happy.
Eid al-Fitr is a time of joy, gratitude, and community service and it is traditional for people to go and visit relatives after the prayer. But it is also the Islamic tradition not to forget the needy. That is why on this day Zakat al-Fitr or Fitrana, a charitable donation in the form of food or money, is given to the poor by heads of the families.
It's a day of happiness for Muslims, also a day to reunite and make bonds. People on this day visit their relatives. They have meals together and sometimes go to a small picnic.
On Eid, Zakat al-Fitr must be handed to the poor and needy. It is obligatory for Muslims to pay this prior to attending the congregational prayers.
After a month of prayer, devotion and self-control during Ramadan, Muslims celebrate the accomplishment of their sacred duties on Eid al-Fitr, a day that marks the end of Ramadan.
Muslims consider Eid al-Fitr as a divine blessing that arrives after a month of fasting from dawn to dusk. Eid al-Fitr, or the holiday of breaking the fast, is among major Islamic events celebrated across the Islamic world. Abdullah Mirza, Kabul.
Palestinians in the Gaza Strip have performed the Eid al-Fitr prayers despite continued Israeli strikes and shelling. Some of the Gaza residents have told us about this auspicious day and how they celebrated despite all the hardships.
The early hour of Eid al-Fitr raid on the rubble of this mosque and in the street. The Israeli occupation deprived Palestinians from praying in their mosques.
During Eid last year, there was no war. Today we are entering the seventh month of the war. Al-Fara Mosque last year was still here. But this year, it has been targeted 2 or 3 weeks before the start of Ramadan.
Despite the pain and massacres, we will show our happiness in these difficult circumstances. We don't care about the war. We will leave Eid like other Muslim countries despite the pain and siege. We will leave this Eid and show our happiness to the displaced people and families of martyrs and detainees.
This day for me is heartbreaking compared to last Eid. I look at my children and I feel heartbroken. When I sit with them and I start to cry, feeling sad for the days that have passed, I remember last Eid and I remember this Eid. Last Eid, I was surrounded by my children, looking at them with joy. But today, I am injured, unable to move or go anywhere.
Additional 5 Palestinians have been killed in the piece of breaking news under the Israeli airstrikes on 2 refugee camps in Gaza Strip. So 5 Palestinians killed, adding to the death toll of today. Well, people in Iraq have joined millions of Muslims all across the globe in celebrating the Eid al-Fitr. Our correspondent, Muslim Salim, has talked to a number of the Iraqis who, while celebrating the occasion, expressed their solidarity with the Palestinians in Gaza.
We congratulate the whole Islamic nation on the occasion of Eid al-Fitr, especially our brothers in Gaza. We wish them victory against the Zionist regime.
We congratulate the people in Iraq, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and our resistance brothers in Palestine, Lebanon, and Yemen. We truly believe that our real Eid will be victory against all evil and the return of Imam Mahdi, inshallah.
Words cannot express our feelings about what's going on with our Palestinian brothers. We truly don't know whether to condole them or congratulate them in this Eid. We hope victory is close. We also hope we can pray in Al-Quds soon.
On this blessed occasion, we express our solidarity with our brothers, the people of Palestine. We support them in their fight for freedom until final victory against the evil regime and its supporters.
Congratulations to the Iraqi people, to the Islamic nation, and to our resistance brothers in Gaza. We hope to see them achieve victory against Zionist occupiers.
Palestinians continue to face an endless nightmare of death and destruction in Gaza, where a U.S.-Israeli genocide is now at its 7th month. Israeli aircraft and artillery fire continue in various parts of the Gaza Strip, targeting homes and gatherings of displaced people. In the latest Israeli airstrike, at least 14 civilians were killed in the Nusayrat refugee camp in central Gaza. The Palestinian Health Ministry says 153 civilians have been killed and 60 others injured across the besieged strip in a matter of 24 hours. Meanwhile, civil defense workers say that they have recovered the bodies of 409 Palestinians from the Al-Shifa Medical Complex in the north and the city of Khan Yunis in the south. The operations were made possible after Israeli forces pulled out from the southern city and ended their siege on the hospital. Since the start of the U.S.-Israeli onslaught on Palestinians, nearly 33,500 people have been killed in Gaza. Mojaba Musaba joined us earlier from the central Gaza city of Deir al-Bala to give us an update on the situation in the war-ravaged Palestinian territory.
Actually, as you know, that today marks the first day of the Al-Eid of Al-Eid days after Ramadan actually ended, and the people actually welcomed these days with more devastation, with more destruction, and more airstrikes that are still hitting different areas of Gaza Strip. Over the last night, the Israeli occupation forces committed an appalling massacre against the Palestinian people in the central area of Gaza Strip, whereas the Israeli warplanes targeted and destroyed a residential building claiming the lives of at least 14 Palestinian women and its children. They were completely killed and unalived over the attack. In the meantime, the Israeli occupation forces also continued their attacks against Gaza City, whereas Ash-Shajaiya neighborhood was hit relentlessly by the Israeli warplanes. Different and several Palestinian residential buildings were completely destroyed over those relentless airstrikes. Amid fierce clashes erupted between the Palestinian resistance and the Israeli occupation forces that managed to attack the eastern parts of Ash-Shajaiya neighborhood. In the meantime, the Israeli warplanes also resumed their airstrikes and attacks against Jabalia refugee camp. More residential buildings and houses were completely destroyed and bounded by the Israeli occupation forces. So we are talking about continuous and relentless Israeli airstrikes that are still hitting the Palestinian areas here in Gaza Strip.
The Israeli occupation forces have raided different parts of the occupied West Bank, including Tul Karm, Nablus, and Al-Khalil, and have abducted a number of Palestinians. Our correspondent from Ramallah, Mona Kandil, joins us to tell us about that. Mona, what has happened in these raids?
As you are saying, the Israeli forces stormed areas from the north to the south, passing by the central of the occupied West Bank. The Israeli forces stormed the villages of Beit Imrin, West Nablus, an area between the villages of Tal and Surra, West Nablus, and also the Israeli forces raided Qabalan, South Nablus. In addition to these villages, Israeli forces stormed Asir al-Qibliya near Nablus, and exchange of fire have taken place there between the resistance groups, members of the resistance groups, and the Israeli soldiers. Despite the fact that no Palestinians were detained in the majority of these areas, however, the Israeli forces stormed the areas. They broke into a number of houses. They questioned people there, and as if the Palestinian experts are saying, it's a reminder. The Israeli forces continue to do their utmost to remind the Palestinians that they are still living under occupation. The Israeli forces had also stormed several areas and cities, towns, and villages in Al-Khalil. They broke into Izna, West Al-Khalil, Beit Umar, North Al-Khalil, as well as Bani Naim, East Al-Khalil, and a number of Palestinians had been detained in these areas. The Israeli forces had also stormed the village of Beit Rima, northwest Ramallah, and at least one Palestinian had been detained. The Israelis have set more checkpoints at the entrances of several Palestinian villages around Jenin. No one had been detained in Jenin this night or this morning. However, more checkpoints had been set. The Israeli forces stormed several areas and villages there. At the end of the day, the Palestinian Commission of Prisoners Affairs said that at least a dozen of the Palestinians were arrested in several areas across the occupied West Bank. The Israelis have broke into Azzoun as well, East Qalqilia, and for the fourth consecutive day, the Israeli forces are still conducting a military operation in the village of Jayus near Qalqilia. We have to remind our viewers that 3 days ago, a Palestinian opened fire at Israeli vehicles, at Jewish vehicles, and a bus. At least two Israeli settlers were wounded, an Israeli soldier. He succeeded to escape, and the Israeli military claimed that he ran away to the village of Jayus, and that's why they are continuing to raid Jayus, closing all the entrances of Jayus, preventing people from leaving or entering Jayus, and the Israeli soldiers are storming the Palestinian homes, questioning the people. In addition to the Israeli forces' aggression against the Palestinians, we have to also mention that Israeli settlers continue to attack Palestinians. This morning, Israeli settlers attacked the village of Burqa, East Ramallah. They opened fire at the Palestinians and their homes, and at least four Palestinians had been wounded. Three of them were shot in live rounds, or with live rounds fired by the Israeli forces. The Israeli troops had also burned sheep barracks there inside the village of Burqa. In addition to several incidents had been reported in the last few days, where Israeli settlers were leaving the illegal settlements, throwing Molotov cocktails as well as stones and rocks at the Palestinian vehicles traveling outside the cities or in areas close to the illegal settlements.
Thank you so much for that, Mona. We do appreciate it. Habib El-Fetr, our correspondent there, Mona Kandil from Ramallah. Thank you.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
The Limelight.
Tel Aviv is coming up against myriad obstacles, from the loss of Western public opinion to the nervousness of its key backers. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned, please. Middle East Eye wrote, "For 75 years, the Western world was indifferent. But this war is forcing the Zionist regime's Western backers to see the full horrors of the crimes being committed in a campaign they described 5 months ago as just. Even a progressive critic of the Zionist regime like U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders said 5 months ago that the war against resistance group Hamas was just. The degree of brutality and glee shown by the Zionist regime troops as they go on their daily killing sprees, starving Gaza and then dropping leaflets in Arabic telling Palestinians to feed the needy, killing 400 people waiting for aid and then vowing to flood Gaza with aid, all of this is too much to sweep under the carpet when this war stops. A Rubicon has been crossed. With this war, the Zionist regime has entered the elite rank of pariah states. It is now the ugliest of the ugly. It's impossible to forgive. It cannot be justified, nor can it be put into context. The entire operation in Gaza is an atrocity. Liberal Zionism has become a contradiction in terms. It's too much of a straight. Acting like this, the Zionist regime has become not the home of a beleaguered people persecuted around the world for millennia, but the Fort Knox of Jewish supremacism, the natural heir to white supremacists. This is having a transformational effect on Jewish people worldwide, in whose name and common past these crimes are being committed. The short cri du coeur of Jonathan Glazer, the British director of the Zone of Interest, did not come out of the blue when he said during his Oscar acceptance speech, "We stand here as men who refute their Jewishness and the Holocaust being hijacked by an occupation which has led to conflict for so many innocent people." The same cry of "not in my name" is coming from the thousands of young Jews who are marching every weekend in London to stop the war in Gaza. Emily, a Jewish activist with the group Na'mud UK, recently said, "I think there has been a quiet reckoning in our community, and you can see this because the bloc keeps growing, the movement keeps growing, the constituency organizations keep getting bigger and bigger. I have never been so sure that I will see a free Palestine." Asked what she thought of her government's attempts to brand these marches as the work of extremists, she said, "I'm very tired of being told how to feel as a Jewish person by people who are not Jewish. I'm tired of being told to feel afraid when these marches are, by and large, peaceful. And people are so lovely to us and so thankful to us. It really shows the ignorance of Jewish opinion outside of their very small Zionist rabble." This is where real leadership is coming from. It's on the streets, not parliament. These are the lions. The political leaders are the donkeys, she said. The Zionist regime and its apologists are right to be scared of what a new generation of American and British Jews are telling them. For the last 8 decades, the child killer regime of Israel governed a consensus about its existence, identity, and purpose that was more powerful than all the arms, money, and Jewish migrants it received. The weaker this consensus becomes, the quicker the Zionist regime will lose its influence in the centers of Western powers. Already, the compulsive addiction of support for the Zionist regime is upending the West's own attempts to explain to itself that it is a moral force, a force for good in the world. Under the British government's latest definition of extremism, it is right to support a government that flouts the Genocide Convention, starves a population under occupation, and kills unarmed mothers and children at will, but extremists to protest against that on the streets of London. This is a patent absurdity. It is left to the likes of South Africa to show Britain the way. It is now going to prosecute its citizens who return after fighting for the Zionist regime's army. It will take time to erode, but after what has happened in Gaza, the future will surely not guarantee the hold the Zionist regime has over every major Western political party. It will not be able to dictate the definition of anti-Semitism, nor will it guarantee the funds that aspiring Western politicians need. Today, every Tory and Labour politician with ambitions for the top job must, almost by definition, be a friend of Israel, a club that maintains a strong hold on each parliamentary party. That might not be true for the next generation of politicians. Jewish academic opposition to the fabricated regime of Israel is strong and vocal. It cannot accurately be called fringe. The child killer regime of Israel is now starting to lose the global Jewish voice. Netanyahu's weakness is having a profound effect on the Western political elites who supported and armed the Zionist regime. U.S. President Joe Biden's rift with Netanyahu is now open and in the public eye. The U.S. leader, who said so loudly that Israel had every right to defend itself 5 months ago, now says Israel cannot kill another 30,000 Palestinians in the name of self-defense. We don't believe Biden has had some dramatic change of heart or that the scales have fallen from his eyes. U.S. government officials are fully informed about what is happening on the ground in Gaza at every stage of his operation. They knew, for instance, that resistance groups were not diverting aid convoys or stealing food, and said so. If Biden is confronting the consequences of having given the Zionist regime the brightest of green lights to invade Gaza after the October 7th events, those consequences are primarily electoral. Biden's team has been shocked by the extent of uncommitted vote. Hundreds of thousands of voters across the U.S. voted for no candidate in the Democratic primaries on Super Tuesday, as the movement urging voters to vote uncommitted gathers pace in protest against Biden's handling of the war in Gaza. This could cost him in the general election in November. Biden's Ramadan greetings were especially warm this year, but Arab Americans don't want hugs. They want a change of policy, and Biden still only supports a temporary ceasefire, not a permanent one. He has not threatened to stop the supply of weapons to Israel. Nevertheless, there has been a deliberate shift in tone. The Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, the highest-ranking Jewish official in the U.S., was full-throated in his support for the Zionist regime after the October 7th events. Recently, he warned the Zionist regime it cannot survive if it becomes a global pariah. Schumer accused Netanyahu of putting political survival above national interest and said he had been too willing to tolerate the civilian toll in Gaza, which is pushing support for the Zionist regime worldwide to historic lows. Israel cannot survive if it becomes a pariah, he said. The loss of public opinion in the West, the continuing genocide case at the International Court of Justice, the erosion of Jewish consensus, and the nervousness of the Zionist regime's backers, all of these elements point to a strategic defeat for the child killer regime of Israel. Even if the war stops now, the price the Israeli regime has paid for the reoccupation of Gaza will be higher than it could have possibly calculated 5 months ago, but it has yet to realize this. It will. علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة. The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him,
كأنه وصي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة علي حبه جنة قسيم النار والجنة وصي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة علي حبه جنة قسيم النار والجنة وصي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge with Sheikh Mukhtar on IRIB English Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. I extend my congratulations to those believers and those Muslims that are living in countries where the Eid has been announced. And I also ask those who are still fasting and are within the holy month of Ramadan to pray for us and for the believers all around the world. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide for managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing on the 185th sermon where Imam Ali alayhi salam is talking about certain expectations that we as humans have to have, especially when we are in a society, and which a leader needs to be able to guide his or her community towards. So what is important here is that we keep in mind these affairs with regards to how there could be changes in the society based on what we do and what we do not do. And therefore this understanding will help us have the right forms of expectations with regards to things that are surrounding us. This is very important for a leader to have in mind when he is trying to guide his or her community.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, we reach this phrase where Imam Ali alayhi salam says that the reason why you see these social problems, like for example, you planning something but the results not happening in the best of ways, or the affairs of the community going in the opposite direction, not coming towards you for progress, but rather leaving you and not allowing you, rather causing you not to progress and to diminish. What is the reason behind it? Why is it that certain times all those connections that you have made, all those good systems that you have made are all now getting disconnected and going away? What is the reason? Imam Ali alayhi salam says that the reason is that because the community becomes drunk with blessings. Now, you know, sometimes when you talk about blessings, this could also include spiritual blessings, not only physical blessings. By spiritual blessings, we mean that in the society, there are various opportunities for religious progress. There are mosques, there are madrasas, there are teachers, there is everything ready for you. But then you are not taking advantage of that. You know, it also happens sometimes that these spiritual blessings might be present right in front of you, but you do not take advantage of these spiritual blessings in the right way. So what happens is a person kind of becomes drunk with those blessings. the physical and also the spiritual to a certain degree in this interpretation. But for sure, the physical and the material blessings, if a person is not careful about them, doesn't, you know, keep them in the right place and does not use them in the best way as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects him to use, then you will notice that this community will enter into a state of drunkenness. And during the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we see that there were a lot of blessings materially. Yes, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was the leader, and a little bit after that, there were certain material deficiencies which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried his best to alleviate with different projects, and through his mastery in leadership, he was able to achieve to a certain degree. But of course, his life did not allow him to continue that leadership, and then there were some issues that happened after that, which people can all read history and see. But my focus today is to make us realize that it so happens that people get drunk with their blessings. They do not see and are not able to focus on the higher aims for those blessings that he has been given, and they have been given as a society.
Nahjul Balagha, translated as the Peak of Eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings that reflected Imam Ali's profound insights on governance, ethics, spirituality, and social justice. Sayyid Razi's meticulous work in preserving and presenting Imam Ali's words has made Nahjul Balagha a timeless source of inspiration for scholars, theologians, and seekers of wisdom.
Now what happens is that sometimes when the blessings become very much in number, the problem is not with the blessing, the problem is the way the people either utilize them or they interpret, the way they interpret this, multitudeness in terms of blessings. So sometimes people just use them and use them in different ways without actually thinking about the reason why they are using those blessings. Sometimes people may be thinking, but their ideology is completely different. You know, they think they have a material way of thinking, and they don't see the spiritual dimension of things. Whatever the case, these blessings can have some effects. When a person like has too many blessings around them and he's not focused on what is the right thing for him to do, that means he's not duty-centric, he's blessings-centric rather, and he just looks at those apparent material things, is that it can lead to very strong class differences in the society in terms of economic situations. So, after all, these blessings are limited, even if they may be in high number, but because of the limitations, maybe some groups of people may have more blessings, other may have very much lesser, and you can see that that difference of societies, difference in the classes in the societies might occur. Sometimes one of the other results of this is that people who are good might get deviated. Yes, so there are two things here. There's a material damage that the society can be divided into a class system society, but there can also be spiritual damages in the sense that good people who had the potential to grow spiritually, they become deviated because of these things. Inshallah, if we get the opportunity, we shall delve more on this issue. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar in the program Gate of Knowledge on RIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
عید الفطر In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Today is the day of Eid al-Fitr, the great feast, marking the end of fasting of the blessed month of Ramadan. Eid al-Fitr is among the three great feasts of Muslims and is held with special religious ceremonies and rituals in all Muslim countries and among Muslims of non-Muslim countries. It is the first day of the Islamic month of Shawwal. Fasting is haram or religiously forbidden on this day, while paying of special alms called Zakat Fitre is obligatory. This is an official holiday in most Islamic countries, and Muslims hold the glorious Fitr congregational prayers on this day. Eid al-Fitr, like all other feasts in Islam, is away from revelry and sinful deeds. This is the characteristic of the faithful, which God says in part of Ayah 55 of Surah Qisas of the Noble Quran, when they hear vain talk, they avoid it. We have prepared a two-part program on this occasion. Here is the first part. In Islam, every behavior and word should have a constructive purpose. That's why the faithful shun any futile thought, word, and deed. It has been narrated that the second infallible successor of the Prophet of Islam, Imam Hassan, peace upon him, came across a group of people who were engaged in play and diversion. The Imam told his companions, indeed, God the Exalted made the month of Ramadan as a field of competition for His servants so that they take lead towards obedience of Allah and pleasing Him. Thus, a group took the lead and won, while another group disobeyed and fell behind. It is very amazing for those who are engaged in play and futile affairs in the day when the righteous receive rewards and the sinners lose. The faithful raised their hands to the sky and whispered the supplication of Imam Sajjad, the fourth infallible successor of the Prophet, saying, O Allah, we repent for any sin that we have committed, or any evil deed that we have sent ahead, or any bad thought that we have planted in the heart. The penitence of a person who does not intend to return in his heart to the sin, a pure penitence that is devoid of doubt. So accept it from us and make us steadfast on it. Veneration of Allah's sacraments is among the features of Eid al-Fitr. Reciting of Allahu Akbar, meaning God is the greatest, and praising and celebrating Allah's glory are among the rites of this day. Principally, religious slogans manifest the beauty of Islam and unity and power of Muslims to the world. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, said, "Adorn your feast with Allahu Akbar." Elsewhere, he said, "Adorn your Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha with La ilaha illallah. There is no God but Allah. Allahu Akbar, God is the greatest. Alhamdulillah, all praises belong to Allah. And subhanallah, clear is God." The great noted Muslim scholar Sheikh Mufid, who lived some 1,000 years ago, writes that the first day of the month of Shawwal has been ordained as the Feast of the Faithful is because they are happy with acceptance of their deeds in the month of Ramadan, since Almighty God has forgiven their sins, covered their defects, and good news has come from God that many rewards will be granted to those who were fasting. The faithful are rejoicing as they have gone a few phases closer to God with efforts on nights and days of the blessed month of Ramadan. Ghusl, ritual washing of body, has been ordained on this day, and this is a thing of cleaning from sins. Wearing perfume, beautiful and clean clothes, going to the open space and praying under the sky are all things of happiness and joy and have been ordained out of wisdom. As a matter of fact, the blessed month of Ramadan ends with a happy occasion which gladdens the faithful. Imam Ali, peace upon him, says, "When the crescent of moon appears, cry of the angels is raised saying, 'O the faithful, come and receive your rewards.'" Then Imam Ali, peace upon him, continues, "Know that the most immediate thing that has been ordained for the men and women who fast is that on the last day of the month of Ramadan, an angel cries out on behalf of Allah, 'O servants of Allah, good news for you, as Allah has forgiven your sins. So think on your future, a new life to see how you will live.'" Dear listeners, the end of Ramadan and Eid al-Fitr is the beginning of a new life. So a faithful should be different from the days before Ramadan. Fasting has made him familiar with the pain and suffering of the poor and the miserable. Thus, he pays the zakat, special alms for Eid al-Fitr, before the Eid congregational prayer. Zakat cleans both the individual and the society. It causes the seeds of virtues to grow both in the individual and the society. In other words, zakat washes pollutions on the one hand and causes perfection on the other hand. Eid al-Fitr is in fact the day of relief from darkness which has overwhelmed us due to our sins. This day is the time of returning to the divine nature. Imam Ali, peace upon him, says, "When you go out of your homes for Eid prayer, remember the time when you will exit your body and go to Allah. When you stand in the place of prayer, remember the time when you will stand in the divine presence and you will be reckoned. When you return home from prayer, remember the time when you go to your home in paradise. The convergence of Muslims in Eid al-Fitr prayer is a manifestation of the power of Islam and glory of Muslims. It shows unity of Muslims. This will help keep Islam alive. As we read in the Qunut, supplicating in prayer with hands open in front of the face, this Eid is the day of magnanimity and treasure for the Prophet. In this supplication, we also ask God to admit us in every good thing that He has admitted the Prophet and his progeny, and take us out of every evil that He has taken them out. Congratulations on Eid al-Fitr.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you. This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We have approached to a most beautiful day, the day of reward, which is called in Islamic terminology as Eid the day. Inshallah, it's all mabruk or all mubarak to all mu'mineen, to all muslimin, those who have fast in this beautiful month. And now it's a time of getting rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eid Mubarak to all Mumineen, to all Muslimin. Congratulations to those countries, those who are experiencing Eid today, especially those who lost their children, those who lost their parents in Yemen, in Iraq, in Palestine. But if they can do Eid, we have to celebrate them, we have to remember them in our du'as, and we have to pass our du'as to them, we have to pass our gifts to them, inshallah. There's a beautiful hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he says, night of Eid is full of blessings and full of mercy, as in the month of Ramadan, the mercy and blessings of Allah were pouring upon us in this beautiful night. Is also we are totally surrounded by the mercy and by the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a beautiful hadith from Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam where he said, my father Imam Sajjad Ali ibn al-Husayn Zain al-Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to stay awake in this beautiful night of Eid, in the night of Laylatul Eid. He used to stay awake until the dawn, the morning of Eid, and he used to do munajat and dua and reciting Quran, and when he was by himself. And he said to his son, to Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam, my son, keep this night as the night of Qadr. So the night of Eid is very much equal to night of destiny, to Laylatul Qadr. May Allah give us tawfiq to celebrate this night as the night of Qadr, inshallah ta'ala. There's another beautiful hadith from Rasulullah where he says, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْفِطْرِ نَادَ مُنَادٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ هَذَا الْيَوْمُ الْجَائِزَةِ فَخُذُوا جَوَائِزَكُمْ. This the day of Eid, about the day of Eid, this is the an angel from the skies speaks out loudly, saying that, oh Mu'mineen, those who have fasted, those are fasting this beautiful month, it's now time to get your reward. So, faghdu, wake up early morning, go for Salat Eid, go for prayers of Eid prayers, and get your rewards. So when you do Zakat Fitra, when you pay for the poor people, for the needies, when you pay your zakat to your marja, to your scholar, to your mujtahid, and you care about those who cannot celebrate Eid, and you share your blessings with them, and you do your Eid prayers, make sure you're right at the point where you're going to get your rewards from Allah subhanahu wa Ta'ala. It's a time of blessings. Allah is pouring His mercy upon you, on you, and His angels are pouring mercy and love of Allah on you. And it's time to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible, and remember all mu'mineen